It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Hello and welcome to Forward Nation Radio 2.0 with me, David Leventhal, 2.0. Well, I got a haircut and a headphone ectomy. Notice I no longer have the headphones on. We are very excited about Forward Nation Radio 2.0. We are calling it Forward Nation Radio 2.0 because most of our staff grew up in this century. I would have just called it Forward Nation, the sequel. But we're calling it 2.0 because we have made dramatic changes, as you've probably noticed already if you are one of our viewers. You see that you could see my face full on, just one of the improvements we've made. What's that? Oh, that's a side effect, I'm being told, not actually an improvement. But we've made other improvements. We are much more conducive to interviews. We will have more interaction. In fact, today, on today's show, we will have interaction with some of our studio audience. We'll have more guests, and we hope you enjoy the new Forward Nation Radio 2.0. So, let's get right, well, one of the changes I need to share, I mentioned the studio audience. We now have a studio audience. Take a look behind me. No, not that one. Yeah. There's our audience. There is a picture of our audience. Our crack staff has managed to get a picture of the Forward Nation Radio 2.0 audience for our shows going forward. So thanks for joining us. Moving right forward. It seems that anybody who gets within a certain distance of the so-called President of the United States, that horror story, manages to debase themselves. General John Kelly was added to the staff, in fact was moved from staff to chief of staff not that long ago to bring order and discipline and integrity to the Oval Office. When an unstoppable force meets an immovable object, in this case, the unstoppable force of Trump administration bullshit managed to win. And John Kelly has joined the latest list of Trump administration officials to utterly demean themselves while on the payroll. Yes, this story about Donald Trump's call to the widow of LaDavid Johnson, one of the service members killed in Niger. Any reasonable president could have just called back and said, look, there was a misunderstanding. I'm sorry I hurt you. Or could have come out, the administration could have just come out and said, look, he's President Trump. You know what you're getting. He's incapable of feeling another human being's pain or anything. That's what it is. But look, he made the phone call. You got to be happy about that. But no, they had to double down with more lying to try to get themselves out of it. So General John Kelly came out and lied about the remarks by Congresswoman Wilson, who had originally broken the story by reporting on what Trump had said to this widow. Unfortunately for John Kelly, people had video of the incident about which he was lying. Congresswoman Wilson speaking in front of a group of people. And it turns out the video shows that General Kelly was lying about everything that happened. What a surprise, another liar in the White House. Congresswoman Wilson responded to this, hinting that John Kelly was probably a racist. It wouldn't be shocking for someone in the Trump administration to be a racist. We've talked about this at length during the show. Doesn't have to be a racist. Just doesn't give a crap about anybody who might disagree with them. And were her remarks easily taken out of context because the typical Trump voter is a racist and therefore is willing to believe that a woman of color would be saying things that she was accused of saying? Sure. He doesn't have to be a racist, but he does have to cater to racists. So Sarah Huckster came out, presidential spokesperson, and said, remarkably, you don't criticize a general. Really? This is America. You don't criticize a general. You can criticize a school teacher. You can criticize a postal worker. You can criticize government workers. You can criticize civil rights workers. They spent years criticizing Barack Obama and his efforts to promote voting rights and civil rights as a community organizer. That's all okay, but you don't pick on a general. Are we now living in a military state? What could go wrong? Does history provide any example of a military dictatorship that wasn't good for its people? Is there any way in which a military junta could be a bad thing? At a time when 1 in 6 Americans apparently think that army rule would be a good thing, I would argue that this is just adding to the danger posed by the Trump administration that we would actually talk about the fact that you cannot criticize air generals. No, let's not get distracted from the real issue. John Kelly gave a moving tribute to his son and a story about his son. That's wonderful, but what's it all mean, General Kelly? How is it exactly that people criticizing the Trump administration are attacking our military and attacking our military inappropriately? He's the man who showed a lack of respect for our military. Most importantly, you want to show respect for the military? And you work in the Trump administration? How is it good for anybody in the military, let alone anybody in this country? If your child is in the military, do you trust your child to this piece of shit? Do you trust your child's life to the judgment and empathy of President Trump? Maybe that's a bigger issue. This week, the administration announced, or it was reported, that we have increased the role of the CIA in Afghanistan. We have sent more people there, and they will be more in harm's way. We won't talk about whether that's a good thing, because I don't claim to have any kind of information on which that I can decide whether this is a good idea or not. Do you trust Trump to have made a good decision here? American lives are going to be at risk. The fact that he is incapable of feeling empathy for another human being, do you think that affects his judgment with the military? Do you think he's likely to be a little bit too quick to put American soldiers and American government workers in harm's way? Anyway, General Kelly, be kind to the military. Be kind to the military. Because someone spoke up for a dead soldier. And that's not kind to the military. Where were you, General Kelly, during the Swift Boat campaign? When President Bush won, I was going to say re-election, but since he wasn't elected the first time, he certainly wasn't re-elected the second time. But won election in 2004 with a massive nationwide campaign to discredit an actual war hero, John Kerry, a man who won 3 Purple Hearts. A campaign that has led to added language in the English lexicon. To swift boat somebody is to destroy their reputation through a pattern of lying, because John Kerry was swift boated. That's disrespecting the military. Where were you, General Kelly? What about Benghazi, where Congress used the death of an American ambassador, an American State Department workers overseas. Congress used that as a pretext to spend millions and millions of dollars and hours of hearings on a fake issue. Where were you then? How about when Donald Rumsfeld so famously said about an unprepared military that was sent to war, you go to war with the army you have, not the army you want. We're back to the whole idea of kneeling during the national anthem, because Republican voters don't have enough brains to distinguish between a real patriot and a faux patriot. Speaking of patriotism, the Senate just joined the House today, as we've been reporting for months. The Senate finally joined the House in repealing the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau rule, allowing people who have been harmed by financial companies, big banks, Not that that's likely to happen in America, but just in the off chance that someone in America is harmed by the misconduct of a financial institution, like the 145 million people who had their identity lost by Equifax, or the millions of people for whom Wells Fargo made up fake accounts and thus hurt their credit rating. Those people will no longer be able to go to court and sue. No, they will be bound by contracts that were forced upon them by financial institutions, usually without them even knowing that it's happened, that will prevent them from suing. That will prevent class action lawsuits, in addition, which means your financial company can steal a little bit of money from a whole lot of people without any worry about ever being sued. General Kelly, parents who have sons and daughters in the military who come home and get fleeced by U.S. financial institutions and can't sue to recover damages, do you think that's respecting the military? Vice President Jesus McJesus had to cast the tie-breaking vote on this one. That's right, the Jesus-loving Mike Pence, who can't be in a room alone with a woman. Because he's just so good looking, I guess, that women just can't resist him. Vice President Mike Pence cast the tie-breaking vote. Because after all, if there's one thing you know from the Bible, it's that Jesus loved the banks. So a little bit more on the Republican tax proposal. President Trump, I hope you're listening, because it's become pretty apparent last week that the one person in America who doesn't know anything about Trump's tax proposal is, drumroll please, President Trump. In fact, the Republicans in Congress have expressed concerns that President, ooh, look, it's shiny, could not be counted on to actually follow through on his own tax plan. Not being able to follow through on his own tax plan is undermining their efforts to take money from average working Americans, like, I don't know, people in the military, and give it to billionaires. They're a little worried about this. But don't worry, they'll try to keep him bound and gagged in the corner while the theft is going on. Turns out the Republicans are having a bit of a trouble balancing their budget and the tax cut proposal to make it look revenue neutral, which they have to do to avoid a filibuster, to be able to pass it with no Democratic support, to force it through on an unwilling country. So how do they do that? Well, the first thing they're going to do is fuzzy math. They're making shit up. We're going to pass tax cuts for billionaires worth trillions of dollars, and that's going to create $100 trillion worth of extra economic activity, which will help us balance the budget. Wait, $100 trillion is not enough? $200 trillion of extra economic. Wait, do I hear $300 trillion? Whatever it is, just make this shit up. One of the things they're going to do to try to make it easier to make shit up is open up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling. Because after all, oil companies drilling in turbulent, deep, and cold waters? What could possibly go wrong? This is crazy. What else can they do to pass their tax cut? They're going to start pulling the tricks that the Bush administration pulled. The tax cuts are going to be phased in over a period of time, and that's not going to include much of the period in their budget estimate. They're also going to be magically phased out, with the expectation, of course, that they will never be phased out. But they will be able to say, look, our 10-year budget projection actually works, because in the last 5 years, the tax cuts are supposedly eliminated. But then, as Bush did, because we just keep reliving this story over and over, as Bush did, as soon as that tax cut is passed, he's going to say, why would these be temporary? Let's go and make them permanent. Why would the taxes come back in? So look for that one. And also floated by Republicans is maybe they're going to have to limit some of the payoffs to the rich people in the tax cut plan. Come on, it was hard to say that with a straight face. Does anybody really think that that's the one they're going to use? Sorry, rich people, you don't get your estate tax cut. You know how you've been funneling billions of dollars into us as scumbags destroying this country just so you can get your tax cuts? Well, never mind. That's not going to happen. And a little bit on Russia this week before we go to our viewer questions. Congressional Republicans, it turns out, think the investigation of Russia is taking too long. We need to shorten the investigation. We don't have time to investigate a hostile foreign power interfering in a U.S. election. We have more important things to do. And what are the things that they need to do? Well, this just came out today. They have more investigations of Hillary to do. We're not making this up. They're not going to investigate Russia because they don't have enough time. They're too busy investigating bullshit stories made up by Sean Hannity about Hillary Clinton. The latest one coming out is the Steele report, which is demonstrating Russian ties to Trump and is being proved true and has to be dealt with. And yes, the one about, you know, the peeing thing. That, it turns out, was all about Hillary Clinton doing opposition research. And they're going to be soon investigating that, I'm sure. Right now, they're investigating a story about her selling nuclear weapons to Russia, which has already been debunked by every credible news organization. And of course, when I say credible news organizations, of course, I mean the fake news. How does all of this happen? How is it that a party has gone this insane? We have seen how insane the party leader has gotten as one after another, Republicans have started cracking the wall between Republicans and Trump. We introduced a segment last week called Brave and Principled Republican Leadership Watch. And we pointed out last week that it was going to be a very short segment. Maybe we need to change the name to Brave and Principled Republicans Who Will Never Again Run for Election Watch. Because those are the only ones who have any chance of actually ever speaking out against Trump. Why? They're afraid of the fucking morons. Jeff Flake, Bob Corker, these are not liberal Republicans. These are ultra-conservative Republicans who will vote for the tax bill, who are voting for the bill to allow financial firms to keep people out of court and avoid lawsuits. But they talk about Trump debasing the country. They talk about the lack of truth and decency coming out of the White House. Former President Bush, John McCain, who's dying, they'll still vote the way the party tells them to. Their family's livelihood, I'm sure, is at stake. But I guess if you're not running for re-election, at least you don't worry about the fucking morons voting you out of office. We've gone insane in this country. People believe things that are blatantly not true. How did we get there? This week, the EPA barred three of its scientists from attending an environmental conference that will discuss climate change. Why are they barred from going? Because they were going to take a private jet? No. Because the conference was going to discuss climate change, something that's not to be mentioned in the Trump White House. The administrator of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, doesn't believe that there's a human role in climate change, or at least tells us he doesn't believe that. And their people blindly follow them and believe them. On our next show, we will be delving into how the media has allowed us to get to this very sad place. Okay, now we're going to take some questions because now we can.
Hi, this is Ryan from Forward Nation Radio, and I'm here with Nicholas. Nicholas has a question for Professor Leventhal. Nicholas, what's your question?
Do you believe Jeff Flake should be commended for his scathing speech against Trump, or do you believe that the bar he crossed is so low that he doesn't deserve to be given credit for his words?
Yes and yes. Thanks for the question, Nicholas. First of all, everybody should watch that speech. Even if you've heard about it, everybody should watch the speech. Do I think that he should be commended for it? Yeah. Is what he's saying blatantly obvious that, frankly, we should be beyond this and we shouldn't need people like this saying this? Yeah, but we don't have people lining up to do this. Is the bar set low? Set ridiculously low. This administration is such an unbelievable disgrace that it is remarkable that anybody is still supporting them in our government, among our voters, whatever. But you want a low bar? How about, what do you think about Nazis? The President of the United States couldn't even meet that bar. If you can't meet that bar, then maybe this bar, we shouldn't be criticizing him because the bar is too low. At least he did it. He only did it when he was able to, because ultimately he had made the decision. He was already in trouble. They were running some right-wing crazy against him. He was going to lose anyway, probably. So it liberated him. So there's some truth to that. But at least he did it. He's better than the rest of them. And maybe it'll actually start something happening. Thanks for the question, Nicholas.
All right, up next, I'm here with Sharon. Sharon's got a question for David. Sharon, you want to give us your question?
Sure. So my question is, several Republicans have denounced Trump's presidency, Corker, Flake. What do you think this will do to the Republican Party moving forward?
That's a great question. That's a $64,000 question, so to speak. What do I think? What will it do to the party? I don't think the agenda is going to be affected at all. In part because all the people who've criticized Trump are completely on board, basically, with the agenda. The only one of those people, obviously, Bush is a former president. He's not voting on anything. But only McCain has voted against them on anything. And, of course, his famous vote to forestall the repeal of Obamacare. So I don't. The one thing they share is the agenda. They all want to loot the country at the same time. The problem they have is that Trump is unstable. He's dangerous. And if anything, he may be seen to be interfering with the agenda a little bit. The bigger question there, I suppose, is if he ever is seen to be interfering with the agenda so much, does that actually move them at some point to actually try to get rid of this guy so they could move the agenda forward? That's all they care about. There's no love of Trump. They are afraid of his people. The Republican Party has created an army of morons. They did that over a number of years so that they can keep stealing elections, winning elections while hurting people at the same time. We're going to talk over the next few shows about how they've created this conservative propaganda machine to lie to people and delude people into thinking that Republicans somehow are going to be good for them in some way, shape, or form. And the problem is they created these morons. They absolutely cannot control them anymore. The morons have become too crazy even for the Republican Party. So the first thing is they're just, anyone who's running for office, plans on continuing to run for office, can't take them on. We've talked about gerrymandering. For congressional Republicans, you don't lose in a general election. Your district is probably so gerrymandered that they could run a tomato against a Democrat and the tomato would win. But you could lose in a primary if you are out crazied. I mean, my favorite story on this one is the congressman, I forget his name, I talked about it a couple weeks on the show. The congressman from the so-called Freedom Caucus, the lunatic wing of the Republican Party, who said after, I think, Roy Moore, lunatic, got the nomination even against Trump's pick in Alabama, came out and said, I thought that people voted for me because they liked my policies. But the fact is, I've learned, they just wanted the craziest son of a bitch in the room. And it turns out I was the craziest son of a bitch in the room. And so unfortunately, the lesson's going to be they're going to have to double down on crazy. because Trump is more popular with the Republican base who votes in primaries than the Republicans are. So I don't, the hope is that once you start seeing cracks in a wall, the cracks expand. Right, if you've ever driven a car, you've gotten a crack in your windshield. You see the crack and it's no problem at first, but you know that over time the crack's gonna get bigger and bigger. That's the hope. The problem is we've talked in the past about the slippery slope fallacy, which kind of builds on that. Once you start that crack, it's gonna keep growing and growing and growing. But the problem with the slippery slope fallacy is that often there is a spot where you could stop the crack. And in this case, the only Republicans who've come out against Trump are those who are not going to run for political office again. And so there's sort of an easy place to stop that. At this point, they're allied. They need Trump. Hopefully they will be working with him to get him to be more sane so that they can continue to do what they want to do, which is basically just loot the country.
All right. Thank you, David, so much for your answer.
I realize that may have been, Sharon, more than you were asking for.
No, it's good.
But
thank
you got me started.
Thank you. It was good. Thanks.
All right. So our next question is coming from a live viewing audience member. They have a question for you, David, about one of the Fox News fake stories that came out this week. And it's about, there was a person who came out, said that they were a Navy SEAL, said that they had a couple of Purple Hearts under their belt, just wanted to meet Trump. And so this person is asking, what do you think the implications of that story coming out are? And Fox News, knowing that it's a fake story, not taking it down for 10 days, so over a week, when Trump is having bad publicity with everything that was going on with Representative Wilson and his phone call to the family of the veteran who died in Niger.
Well, first of all, thanks to our live viewer for that question. And Ryan, thanks to you for elaborating on the question. When you start off by talking about a fake news story from Fox News, you needed to tell me which fake news story, because obviously there's fertile ground there for which fake news story. What do I think the implications are? There's no question they're going to make stuff up even more than they otherwise would have to try to overcome the story. They're going to make stuff up. The fact that Fox News had a guy who wasn't what he purported to be on is not in the least bit shocking, surprising, or anything. It happens all the time. My favorite story, of course, with the fake Fox News people is the climate scientist that they had on for a long time denying climate change. I need help. I can't remember the guy's name. If anybody remembers the name, you can yell that out from our studio audience. But this was the guy they were trotting out, because this was a climate scientist who debunked climate change. And he said, no, it's not real, whatever else. And then it turned out, A, he wasn't a climate scientist. And B, he said that he had no relationship to the fossil fuel industry, and he'd gotten something like $10 million over a couple of years from the fossil fuel industry to lie to them. This is typical. I don't know, that's not my favorite story. My favorite bullshit story, of course, is during the Bush administration, Jeff Gannon, AKA Jamie Guckert, who posed as a press person, a journalist, was given a White House press pass and was called upon to ask questions in whatever few press conferences President Bush had. And ask questions like, how do you deal with Democrats when they're so out of their minds? And it turns out that Jeff Gannon, who was a journalist with the White House press pass, his real name was Jamie Guckert. He had no journalistic credentials at all, and he ran a gay male escort site. It's almost comical how bad they are. One of the good things about the fake news that we're going to be talking about for a long time is, I don't know if it's that they're not good or they have such contempt for their viewers that they don't even have to be good at it. It's so blatant that they're full of shit. What do I think is going to happen? I think if you scratch a Fox News voter and say, or viewer, and say, what do you think about this? What do you think they're going to say? They're going to say, it probably is true. After all, they're just telling us it's not fake news. Or, who cares if it's not true, because the point is true anyway. So this guy maybe was, but it's still true no matter what. We've talked in the past about the fact that much of this country, when shown information, facts, that show that something they believe is wrong, an intelligent person, a person who knows enough not to vote for Donald Trump or any other living Republican right now, says, wow, I better moderate my position or reconsider my position in light of this extra information. But what do most Americans do? They actually double down on what they already believed. I'm cynical on the subject. Maybe in time people will start getting picked off and realize that Fox News is just so full of shit. But I don't think that's really their audience. They know they can get away with this. They're going to keep doing it.
Great points, David. Thank you so much for answering the question. And hopefully, if you are out there, hopefully you are satisfied with that answer.
Okay, I am getting the word from our producer that our time is up. Either that or he's suicidal. I'm assuming our time is up. Thank you for joining us on our first Forward Nation Radio 2.0. We hope you enjoyed it. We look forward to bringing you more interaction in the future, more guests. Like looking forward, this hasn't changed. Go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there, even the Forward Nation Not 2.0, and on our YouTube channel as well. Don't miss the next Forward Nation podcast on podbean.com. That's Podbean, B-E-A-N. If you love what you heard, like us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel, tell your friends, spread the word, Forward Nation Radio 2.0.
Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.